Welcome back to Modern Politics. I'm Warren Balog.
And I'm Emily Yukas.
It's the second week of April 2025. And today we're going to hit a number of things that have been happening in the news. There's a lot of things happening. Stock market crashing, tariffs, Yemen, you know, war with Yemen, war with Iran, getting closer and closer to it. Netanyahu visited the White House again. Yeah.
He brought all his laundry. I'm sure he had a ton of it.
That's what it probably was, his laundry. He needed to do his laundry.
Yeah.
And so he came back to the White House to get them to do his laundry. We're going to hit all this. This will be kind of a variety show. But first, I guess we should talk about Randy Fine, our old nemesis, Randy Fine, who we profiled years ago.
Yeah. What was the episode? Do you remember what it was called?
DeSantis Cancels Free Speech, which we did in March 8th, 2023.
Wow.
So basically 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago.
Of course, it was about his hate littering thing.
And it's funny because we later covered the fact that Randy Fine later canceled DeSantis.
Yeah. So Fine, they're enemies now.
Yeah, so the idea was Randy Fine, of course, came to everybody's attention when he sponsored this bill that made basically people like GDL putting out leaflets and using the little corn bags and things like that in Florida, warning about Zionism and things like that. Randy Fine sponsored a bill to make it a hate crime to do that. And the way he did it was by adding a hate crime enhancement. Or a kicker, as he called it,
yes,
to what were crimes like littering, only this would make it a felony where you get 5 years in jail. Let's play the famous clip of him describing this.
And so the way we're going to approach this is through a hate crime kicker. So if you graffiti a building, it is a crime now. But if your motivation is hate, it will be a third degree felony. You will spend 5 years in prison. If you want to litter, it's a crime right now. But if you litter and your motivation is a hate crime, it will be a third degree felony. You will spend 5 years in jail. It is a crime right now to hang banners from an interstate. For obvious reasons, we don't want to distract drivers. But if you do that and you have a hate crime, a hate motivation, it will be a third degree felony. You will spend 5 years in jail.
How optimistic are you of moving this bill along?
I guarantee the bill will pass.
Yeah, and then in April of 2023, April 28th, Ron DeSantis signed House Bill 269 into law. He signed it into law in Israel.
Oh,
he
yes.
Covered that.
Was Fine there?
Yeah, Fine was there standing over him as he signed this into law, which, again, it was the most extreme anti-First Amendment, anti-free speech law in the country. And of course, now is going to be applied, and I'm sure has been applied. In fact, I did see a case where a pro-Palestinian person was charged with this law. It also criminalizes projecting things onto buildings. So you know how they were using the laser projectors.
Mm-hmm. I guess that wasn't enough because Randy says that DeSantis isn't doing enough for Israel.
Yeah, well,
even with that, he's not doing enough for the Jews.
He wasn't doing enough for the Jews.
No.
It's you can't make this up. After Ron DeSantis basically falls on his sword for Israel, goes to Israel and does this with Randy Fine sitting over his shoulder, then
his large shadow looming over him.
Yes. Then Randy Fine, when Trump starts to win, Randy Fine ditches DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he gives is because DeSantis is not strong enough on anti-Semitism. He wrote a big thing denouncing DeSantis as saying he's weak on combating anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And that's why he went with Trump. So
there you go. That's how it works with the Jews. Well, Randy's back in the news because he won his congressional race,
which was vague. It was a special election. And it was because the seat was vacated by Mike sucking the phone, sucking out the data, Mike Waltz.
Yeah.
Mike sucking Waltz, who really actually, I don't know if they still figured out how the stuff got sucked
my
out.
My theory, and I think this is the most plausible thing, is that they told him to add Goldberg, and he had like 5 Goldbergs in his phone, maybe Jay Goldberg. Very common.
Yeah.
It's like John Smith, you know?
Yes.
And he simply added the wrong Jew to the chat. So this that's my theory.
This is what happened, yeah. And Jeffrey Goldberg said that he was lying when he said that he didn't know him or talk to him. He's known him and talked to him.
Yeah. It was supposed to be some sort of like military asset, like some sort of Israeli military guy that he was probably supposed to add. The real Goldberg.
Yeah.
Will we ever know who it was?
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
Who knows? But Signalgate, so that's that clown, Mike Waltz, who's the national security director, he vacated his congressional seat so that he could become the job that he's now like this close to losing. And so they had this special election in Florida. It's a district, it's like over 30% Trump won it by. It's a super red district, red.
It's a
solidly Republican district.
Old people, boomers, Jews.
And Randy Fine was losing this race. He is very unpopular. In fact, he came so close to losing it. It took Donald Trump making several big posts, all caps, you know, Randy Fine is this great patriot.
Glowing endorsements for Randy
Total
Fine.
Glowing
endorsements.
Fine. And he still almost lost it. And it was so close that Ron DeSantis publicly dissed him. We can play that because it's funny.
Well, what happened with the Randy Fine is exactly what I said. He would win but underperform. And that's what happened. President won that by 30 points. In 24, I won it by 35 plus points in 2022. Fine is out there saying he won by the same margin I did. That is a total, total lie. I won by more than twice that he did in 2022 in that district. I think you have a candidate in Randy Fine who won. He's a squish, okay? He supported restrictions on Second Amendment rights back in 2018. He tried to defeat my immigration proposal to help President Trump enforce immigration laws, and he tried to enact a de facto make Florida de facto sanctuary state. So when people see that, our base voters don't get excited about that. You're not giving them a reason to go out and vote. And he's also, just the way he conducts himself, is somebody, he repels people. He's repelled people in the legislature. He's repelled, they wanted to get him out of the legislature, so they asked me to put him up for Florida Atlantic president, and I did, and the whole board would have resigned rather than make him president. And so now he's going to be in Congress. I mean, like, you know, it is what it is. So I think the election day turnout was really good for a special election for Republicans in the district, and I attribute that to President Trump's intervention. I think these are voters who didn't like Randy Fine, but who basically were like, you know what, we're going to take one for the team. President needs another vote up there, and so we're going to do it.
So, yeah, this guy...
He's so funny. I mean, really? Well, so I made a piece.
This inspired a bit of art.
Yeah, well, I got into a thing. So, firstly, I started making fat jokes. I went to his Twitter, and I started making fat jokes. So, Randy Fine...
He's pretty fat.
Yeah, Randy Fine is so fat and massive, he gives new meaning to the term dual citizen. He can literally be located in America and Israel at the exact same time. Yeah. And then another one. Randy Fine is so fat that during Passover, when God tried to pass over him, he got like a third of the way, gave up, and turned back around.
Yeah.
Another one. Randy Fine is so fat that when Martin Luther saw him, he wrote an updated version of his book called On the Jews and Their Size.
And Their Size, yeah.
And yeah. I kept going and going.
Well,
he
does fit into that.
He doesn't really fit into much of anything.
He fits, though, into the Itamar Ben-Gavir mode of super Jew, where they're so chosen that it's almost like a flex how much they can just not look like. Like, there's a thing with Jews, I think, that if you have to look like the Übermensch to be chosen by God, you know, if you have to be like that.
Like an Aryan.
Yeah. Like, then.
Are you really
then,
God's
then
favorite?
Then you're not really God's favorite because then you're just the best. And if you're the best, objectively, then you don't really know that you have God's just favor on you, that he's favored you above all else. So it's almost like a flex with some of these Jews, where they are disgusting slobs, and that reinforces how much God has, because he's chosen them anyway.
Yeah,
even
well,
though
I said
disgusting
it. I said it looks like God chose him a couple extra times. You know,
well, his son, you pointed out,
he's a portly ginger kid.
He was apparently traumatized by, you know, an anti-Semitic leaflet that was put outside his house, and that's what inspired him to. But I mean, Randy Fine brings this on himself because he is a super troll. He's someone.
I wouldn't call him a troll. I call him like a lolcow.
Well, what I mean is he is someone who has taken it to the utmost, the style of politics. I mean, Esquire magazine had an article about him. Meet Randy Fine, the GOP's new ahem distinguished gentleman from Florida. In a chamber full of noisy buffoons, he might be the noisiest. And Politico called him, what do they call him, the Hebrew hammer? I mean, I guess that's what he's known as.
Yeah, I'll say he's a big, big guy. He's a big hammer.
his specialty is to be so aggressively and obnoxiously pro-Israel, provocative, very much inspired by the Trump style.
Yeah.
But he also, though, is someone who early on was part of the anti-woke crowd, the anti-woke right, like the
philo-Semitic anti-woke right that we started talking about when we put that video out.
And that was a big part of our video in 2023.
So we predicted, we saw this coming.
Yes.
When we saw it coming at the start, and of course now it's exploded.
The guy that's pushing the big anti-woke crusader. Yeah, at that time it was still kind of cutting edge to be in March of 2023 to be super anti like LGBT. You know, there was some immigration stuff. He was one that was co-sponsoring the stuff against Disney that DeSantis was doing. At the same time, he's proposing to like kill the First Amendment when it comes to criticizing Jews or Israel.
Right, right. Well, he loves killing things and he loves killing children because he's provocative and he's extra racist. And it's like, I get it. I do that. I do the bit. I'm also not running for Congress. But I mean, so all these tweets came out and I didn't see these when we did our last show on him. But he is just like literally like calling for the blood, the like wants Gaza to be drenched in the blood of the Palestinians.
Bombs away.
He's signing bombs. There was a famous one that's going around where someone posted a picture of a dead Palestinian baby in the rubble, and they said how do you sleep at night, and Randy said quite well actually, thanks for the pic.
So
just like really grotesque stuff here.
And I want to point out, this guy is a caricature of Jewish privilege.
I know.
I mean, his background, if you just like wiki him, his background is he went to Harvard. Which, how does a Jew like that get into Harvard, this schlubby, disgusting, revolting person that no one likes? Totally Jewish money and privilege and nepotism gets a guy like that in. That's how he goes to Harvard. And then before he starts his career in politics, he decides to go into the casino business.
Yes. Yeah, so he became a multi-million dollar
multi-millionaire
from the gambling industry.
Which again, Stryker and I just reviewed this book, The Jew as Criminal. And it's an old National Socialist text by a couple of doctors who just review the history of the Jews' involvement in all these different trades, you know, fencing, receiver of stolen goods, gambling, pimping, all the things, usury, and of course, murder for hire, all the different things that historically they've been associated with. So you get this guy, goes to Harvard, makes his fortune in this wholly unproductive form of wealth acquisition, which of course he works for that one Jewish casino firm, and then just rides into politics, even though he's such a disgusting person. And then he's so privileged and has so many things going in his favor that he still needs the president of the United States to come and put his thumb on the scale and call out send out the bat signal for MAGA.
Yeah.
To just barely get him over the line in a super red, like 30-40% red Republican district.
Yeah. Well, I made the joke, Randy Fine has won the election to everyone's surprise. Then again, Randy's not known for losing much of anything, including a single pound.
Yeah, he's pretty disgusting.
The fat Jew jokes are a really untapped market. But anyway, so I've been doing that, and then there was the Trump endorsement, and he wins, and so I got this idea to make, this is like always these good ideas. This is how it happens. Just pops into your head to do a Lion King parody with Randy Fine. So I made one called The Zion King, and we're going to play that right now.
Welcome to Mar-a-Lago, Mr. Fine. Here's that baby you ordered.
Randy, congrats on your big win. We're going to make Israel great again.
Hello, Mr. Fine.
So that's a big hit right now. That is going, that people are loving that. Unfortunately, Randy already blocked me for my fat Jew jokes, but people are already replying to him with it. And I mean, honestly, I think he might like it because he doesn't seem to be ashamed of the fact that he likes, you know, dead Palestinian children and dead babies. So.
I can see them. I can see Laura.
I think
Loomer.
He like it.
I can see all of them liking it. I mean,
yeah.
they the thing about them is
he didn't hide the reply.
Yeah,
he hides a lot of replies. He didn't hide that one.
It's like the pager attack thing, the way they were celebrating it. I think that they are so ghoulish and sick. And again, I've been reading book after book about Jews and about their religion and their culture. We read Passovers of Blood for War Strike. And understanding the Jewish ritual murder, the history of it, that it in fact is something real, absolutely,
real.
Without a doubt in my mind.
Well, it was written by a Jewish scholar.
It was
scholar,
written by the top Israeli scholar on medieval Jewish studies.
Yeah.
But also the fact that their entire religion is one based on blood sacrifice and this massacres of women and children. And you know, we had talked about Amalek and Haman, but I mean,
well, they
I
love it.
But, you know, Passover itself and the plagues that were sent,
yeah.
You know, as you pointed out.
And Randy is a religious nut job. I mean,
yeah.
He believes, he's a true believer. If you watch his speeches, he's always mentioning God. There was one speech where he literally said he literally believes that Donald Trump was spared by God when he got shot in the ear, and was spared by God and put here divinely to serve the Jews and like bring the Jews greater Israel and make, you know, assist the Jews in their world domination conquest. I mean, he probably literally thinks that Donald Trump is going to help bring the Antichrist or the new Jewish Messiah.
The Antichrist, also known as the Messiah that the Jews are waiting for.
I mean, he believes in that stuff. Like, don't say that we sound crazy. This is what Randy Fine believes in.
You know, he is a real lolcow. His you know, the video that his opponent was made a funny attack ad that shows him diving under his desk when a process server was coming to serve him.
Yeah, he fell down. It was like, boom, you know, explosion.
But it's a really kind of terrifying commentary on the state of American politics that a genocidal lunatic like this can get elected to Congress. I mean, the press coverage has been astonishingly tame.
Yeah.
Not making a big deal out of this. I mean, if someone had posted a picture of a dead Jewish child from like the Warsaw Ghetto uprising,
yeah,
under a white European candidate, someone of European descent running for office, and they said, "How do you sleep at night?" And they said, you know, the same thing that he wrote, "Quite well, thanks for the pic."
He would be out of there.
National headlines, yeah. And the person would. I mean, the person would never be able to do any show their face in politics ever again. The fact that even the left hasn't really covered what a monster this individual is. We were watching earlier the Iranian Mirandi. Dr. Mirandi was on with George Galloway, and he was talking about how they were both discussing how this doesn't get any attention. The stuff that Israel is doing right now and like the protests and everything in the United States, it's being suppressed by even the Democratic and the liberal and even like anti-war activists are not really talking about this because there's no way of talking about it. As we said on our last show, there's no way of talking about this without pointing out the Jewishness of it. It's a Jewish issue.
It's
this is
Jewish
not a Zionist
problem.
Issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're killing like over 100 kids a day right now.
Well, I mean, we can.
And Randy Fine loves it.
Yeah,
he loves that.
We can just briefly mention some of the atrocities that have happened recently. The one was this wiping out of 15 aid workers that Israel lied about and said that they were in unmarked vehicles without their lights flashing. And then a video came out. They murdered these people and buried the evidence, a mass killing, Katyn style. And then they recovered, Palestinians recovered a cell phone video from one of the corpses, which clearly shows the caravan before they, as they're coming under attack with all their lights flashing, clearly marked, they knew they were aid workers and they slaughtered them.
Yeah, they do this. They love doing this. There's so many things though about Randy Fine. Like he is uniquely hilarious. So what did he's been sent to anger management. Okay, because he was seen like flipping off people on a Zoom meeting,
yeah,
and like doing the loser thing on his head. He went to anger management. He threatened to cut funding for the Special Olympics because someone was doing something that he didn't like. He texted some girl, some like teacher, and called her a whore.
Yeah,
there's like a whole list of like scandals that he's been involved in. I mean, he's like a totally unstable guy.
Well, he reminds me in many ways of the New York Congressman Max Rose. He's a similar what we used to call a jignet, like someone who is
a
bad optics Jew.
Bad
a Jew
optics.
Who is so bad optics that he's almost an embarrassment to his fellow Jewry. But
in these days, though, Jewry loves. I mean, this is Jewry. Like World Jewry endorses this extreme position.
So yeah, the fact that this really embarrassingly unhinged schlubby psycho who is just publicly exulting in the murder of children is now a member of the House of Representatives is just one more piece discrediting the United States, discrediting what they call democracy.
No, I mean, it's literally just like a Jewish supremacist thing. Like they've always been in control of stuff for like, you know, almost a century, but now they're just going fully mask off here. It's clear who's in control. It's clear who's running the show. And I mean, but they still think that they're still acting like they're not, though. They're still acting like they're victims. And like, he's like, oh, it's a hard world for a Jew boy in a non-Jewish world and stuff like that. Like, he does this little like I'm just a little scrappy Jew who crawled his way up from the bottom of and got to the top.
Well, let's talk about some other things that have been happening this week. The big one is of course the stock market is all over the place. This morning when I woke up, it said the stock market rebounded. Then by the close of the day, it had fallen again. Mm. Trump is engaging in this trade war with China and these other countries. And it seems like they're willing to call his bluff, which I hope they do. I hope they do. I mean, yeah. What Trump is doing in theory is good and should have been done 30 years ago. If America were actually a nation, America is not a nation. America is a multicultural
hellhole, third world country.
Yeah. Frankenstein monster led by a Jewish supremacist cult.
Yes.
And of course the harm of this, of the tariffs is going to be passed along to, it's not going to be felt by the rich. It's not going to be felt by the big boys. It's going to be felt by the little guy. And like I say, I think China is going to call their bluff, because some of this stuff, it's like they're playing right into the hands of China and these other countries that want to move to, you know, the global South. They want to move away from an American dominated economy. But I don't know if Trump realizes or if these Jews realize or if they just don't care what a liability Israel is right now. It's like, I feel like they're pushing too many things at once, pissing off too many people at once while they have this moral albatross.
I know.
Hanging
around
their necks.
It's like it's always the case. Like you said, the Jews are not good at like staying in countries. Like in fact, they're historically very bad at staying in countries. They can't seem to figure out how to just stay in a country.
Yeah, well,
they just get and Randy Fine even talks about it. He's like, for 2,000 years, our people have been kicked out of every single country. Gee, I wonder why, Randy.
Well, Randy Fine, he is like the personification of the Israeli people, of the Jewish people, because
big fat.
He's
bloated.
A horrible, fat, disgusting, privileged, cowardly, awful person. Everybody hates him. I mean, like, even Jewish Floridians don't even like him.
I know.
And yet, in his own mind, he's all the more chosen because of it. And if people don't like him, he's being persecuted. So,
well, the crazy thing is like, he would call us, like, unhinged, like, sadistic racists. I mean, which we're racists, yeah.
No, he would just call
but,
us.
You know,
just,
we don't rejoice.
He would just
in the
call
death
us Amalek and want to kill our children. Like that's literally his position.
Yeah.
That's his position, and that's his position towards you know all the goyim. I mean, that's what these Jews believe.
I know, they're crazy.
They're waiting for their Messiah to come and slay and enslave and murder the whole world, and that's what Martin
that's
Luther
what
said
he,
about.
Yeah,
them.
I know. Yeah. Why are you going to do that? Why do you want to do that? Like, why do you want to just be like 0.2% of the population surrounded by like Africans and Indians.
I want to point out a couple of other things. Trump is still as anti-white as he ever was. Several big things that happened this week. The first thing that I haven't talked about publicly yet, and I'm probably going to write something in depth on my Substack about it. But of course, my Charlottesville case finally hit the end of the road. The Supreme Court declined to hear it.
Yeah.
Which, again, shows that the whole anti-woke thing, the pushback against wokeness, is a complete sham.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is, what is it, three Trump appointees? It's all Republican-dominated right now. This is a major First Amendment case that has to do with specifically Antifa and radical left-wing city government and state government in Charlottesville, including Terry McAuliffe, the Clintons' own
all like Trump's enemies. Yeah.
All of his enemies. And they would not even hear the case, and they side basically with Judge Moon and really with Roberta Kaplan, with her version of events.
We're little literal Antifa judges and Jews.
So it exposes that. Yeah. We also had another white kid killed, this football player, where the father came out and denounced it. And we did a whole video on that, a whole modern politics on that, when we discovered the fact that the Justice Department sends out their little messengers under that special department that they have, their public relations department. They send out their little messengers to tell the families what to say.
Yeah. The fundraiser for the killer had more money than the fundraiser for the victim's family.
Yeah, and it was like $250,000 when I last checked it. Now, Trump, in his press conference, his sit-down in the Oval Office with Netanyahu, a lot of the headlines were saying, oh, Trump put Netanyahu in check. He said that they're engaging in talks with Iran, and this shocked Netanyahu. Well,
yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
I watched the whole thing, and it wasn't at all like that.
Trump was just saying, we love Israel. Israel's our best friend. We're going to take care of our friends. People will overanalyze some slight reaction by Netanyahu and be like, see, this, he doesn't like this, or he's surprised by this. Meanwhile, Trump is just publicly fawning over him, doing his laundry and stuff.
Well, I want to go through just a couple things with that. The first thing was the anti-white thing. I haven't heard anybody talk about this. Trump, once again, with Benjamin Netanyahu sitting next to him, he said this line about how we want people coming in. We just want them legally.
People are coming into our country, but they're coming in legally. We have a legal process, and we have that moving along properly because we need people to come into our country, but we want people that can love our country and cherish our country. So that's where we are. And with that, any questions?
And he also, this is the same week, he held up his gold card. You saw the gold card where he was saying for $5 million, anybody can become a citizen of the United States.
An American, yeah. Oh, my God. What an insult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's once again saying that he only thinks of Gaza as a prime piece of real estate.
Right.
That, again, him and Netanyahu act. Netanyahu literally said that they have no control over why Gaza is a prison, an open air prison, that it has nothing to do with Israel. We didn't do that. He said that. He said that on TV. They're acting like they're not in charge. These people are just happening to die over there, for. We don't know why.
It's a place where a lot of people die.
Yeah, they just happen
place.
To die. Yeah. And then he's saying once again that we're going to get them all out. And there are a number of countries that are willing to take the Palestinians, a.k.a. white countries, because Egypt's not going to take them. The Arab countries aren't going to take them. So he's talking about Ireland and other places that are white countries. So he's literally sitting there with Netanyahu saying he's going to fully ethnically cleanse Gaza and send them to white countries.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because he said that they were engaging in direct negotiations with Iran, and they are not. Iran came out and said no. They're indirect, meaning there's a go-between. I think it's happening in Oman. And so Trump was wrong about that, or he was lying about that. But he also threatened to bomb Iran again, and I'm going to play this.
I think if the talks aren't successful with Iran, I think Iran is going to be in great danger, and I hate to say it, great danger, because they can't have a nuclear weapon.
So is that a yes?
You know, it's not a complicated formula. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That's all there is.
So
can't
is
have it.
Ready?
Right
is
now we have
reaction?
Countries that have nuclear power that shouldn't have it, but I'm sure we'll be able to negotiate out of that, too, as part of this later on down the line. But Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if the talks aren't successful, I actually think it'll be a very bad day for Iran if that's the case. Yeah.
Later on, Netanyahu said that one of the model that they want for disarmament is Libya. And I couldn't believe this.
Oh, my God.
Netanyahu invoked Libya.
Wow.
He said that, they could disarm like Libya. And, I saw news items saying, that is an example that's going to make Iran very nervous because we all know what happened.
Yeah, we know what happened to Gaddafi.
When Gaddafi signed a deal with the West and said, we're not going to have nuclear weapons, and then we see what happens. So they are telegraphing the fact. Netanyahu is telegraphing the fact that if Iran agrees to no nuclear weapons, and reaches some kind of a deal with the United States, signs some kind of a new agreement. Because the only kind of agreement that they'll sign is something where they have U.S. or U.N. inspectors up their ass to basically verify that they don't have the ability to protect themselves. Emily, you know that the weapons inspectors that went into Iraq to show that Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction, it was basically intelligence gathering. It's planning out the invasion, where to strike and how to strike it. Because then once they found no weapons of mass destruction, that's when they went in. Oh, they don't have weapons? They're disarmed? We've proved they're disarmed? Great. Now we can go in and invade.
I know. And they're laying it out. Like, this is what I'm saying. They're going mask off. They're not being subtle about it.
There was an Iranian doctor who is a very, very intelligent guy who actually, I think, was he was a high-up advisor to the Ayatollah and was, in the Iranian parliament, who for the first time said that if the U.S. takes military action against Iran, in other words, missile strikes, then Iran will pursue a nuclear weapon. They don't want to pursue a nuclear weapon. There's actually a fatwa by the Ayatollah against nuclear weapons, prohibiting it on the basis that it's an immoral weapon. They say that it's immoral. But they're actually saying now, for the first time, this guy said, we will pursue a nuclear weapon if you attack us. I think there's this deadline looming in May. I don't see how this is going to result in anything other than a United States attack on Iran, and it'll be led by America. And Netanyahu will do the same thing he's doing with Gaza, where he's saying, oh, Trump's plan, the Trump plan for Gaza.
Yes. Oh,
so the whole idea is to make it out to be Trump's idea. This is all Trump's idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Trump is trying to shore up the military. We'll talk about Yemen here in a second. But two of the things that Trump has said in the last week, one is that he is going to propose a $1 trillion military budget.
Yeah, $1 trillion. Gee, I wonder where that budget's going to be used.
$1 trillion. I mean, this is for the guy that's you know, Doge cutting. I mean, this is why they want to cut Medicaid.
Exactly.
And why they want to cut everything else.
Well, everyone was like, come on, when we would say, yeah, they're cutting everything, and so they could use that money to go fight Israel's wars. And everyone was like, come on.
Literally,
this is what it's happening.
Literally true, yes.
It's not rocket science here, guys.
No. And they're making all kinds of cuts across the board.
But we're not going to war with Iran, though. Like, where could you get such an idea?
The Lutnick was out there saying that, all the jobs are going to be coming back, and robots will be doing the jobs. So, the idea of middle class jobs and rebuilding the middle class and the American worker is an afterthought to these people. The whole focus of this economy is productivity. And productivity means lowering labor costs. That's what that basically means.
Yeah. It's like, as long as we don't have the mass deportations, which we're not getting them, and I think people have just given up 2 months in, it's like, well, I guess this isn't going to happen. They're just going to use all these illegals to do this labor. So who cares if the job comes back to America? Because white Americans aren't going to get the jobs anyway.
The idea is to build a big war machine for Zog, for Israel, and to sacrifice everything for that, including American labor. The reason they're reshoring manufacturing is nothing to do with rebuilding the middle class or having robust, strong, healthy American communities, or improving the lives of workers. And it has everything to do with making sure that supply chains are located here, that we have our strategic resources and assets and manufacturing located here within our control, that China and Russia and nobody else can cut us off if we do things like back a genocide.
Yeah, well, it's a little too late,
Well, the other thing was, there was an article in The Hill talking about how they are slashing some of the government jobs that they're slashing include stuff within labor enforcement and things with the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And there was a paragraph in this article in The Hill that really stuck out to me, because people, when they see that Doge is like slashing jobs, they think that it's like the black woman at the DMV, like lazy blacks with DMV style jobs.
That's what they're telling everybody.
The article was, Trump is neutering the Labor Department, and this is a good section of it. Says, these are not plug-and-play jobs. A Bureau of Labor Statistics data collector, for instance, takes 3 to 5 years to reach journeyman status. Mine inspectors and OSHA compliance officers undergo similar years-long training curves. The administration's view that such roles can be easily filled by private contractors or new hires reflects, in Sachs's words, a 19th-century mindset. It ignores the specialized and high-stakes nature of federal oversight, work that directly affects worker safety, fair wages, and economic stability. So basically, they're going to cut, if you put the data collecting. The Bureau of Labor Statistics does great work.
Yeah.
And if you put that in private hands, you leave it subject to be gamed all different sorts of ways. And if you have like labor oversight, OSHA inspections and all that, you outsource that it's going to be a third world banana republic. It's yeah. turning America into a third world country.
I mean, it already is a third world country.
You're gutting like the civil service so that you can then have a $1 trillion military. It's all to put money for this military. And Trump wants to have a military parade. He's revived that idea.
Oh, my God.
For his 79th birthday, which is also it's time. So it's like the 250th anniversary of the founding of the U.S. Army.
Right, right. So I'm going to be just not looking forward to all the liberals are going to be like, it's just like the Nazis.
I'm totally looking forward to it. You know why?
The radical Jewish Zionist Nazis.
Emily.
What?
I welcome the spectacle of the multiracial, AJ squared away, yeah. blacks, Hispanics, Indians, all the different, the rainbow of American diversity
yeah.
that will be represented, that will make the old communist Soviet parades
look like
seem
a white
like
nationalist.
Something out of the Third Reich.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, they're going to put Randy Fine up there like a float, like a big balloon.
When you have Tyrone, marching around,
yeah.
it's going to take, like, the actual Soviet army that beat Hitler will look like Hitler's army when you compare the spectacle of this integrated, multiracial, mutant army of freaks that will be on display. And, of course, they'll have a few, they'll have their square-jawed
Aryans. Yeah, yeah, they'll have Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Trump did the tweet where they're just openly celebrating war crimes, openly, back in the day, war crime footage would have to be leaked and it would be a scandal after the fact. Well, now Trump is just tweeting out people him bombing civilians and oopsie, whoops.
He said these Houthis were planning attacks on U.S. ships. Oops, they won't be planning attacks anymore. And he played this video. And
it was just a tribal meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it's Eid. It's a big yeah. Muslim celebration. And this is how they celebrate. And there's countless pictures of people meeting. I mean, that's not how you plan. if you're targeting warships with missiles, you don't do it by forming a big circle.
Yeah, you don't stand and shout across the rectangle to each other. It's so dumb. But yeah, everyone's like, yay!
Kids have been killed in these attacks. There was an infant killed. Trump is murdering children in Yemen. And the critical thing to understand here is, because I saw Pete Hegseth in this Netanyahu press conference also talking about it, why they're striking Yemen. In fact, let me just play that.
But they've been very badly damaged. Nobody else was able to do that but us. Pete, you want to discuss that, please?
Yes, sir. It's been a bad 3 weeks for the Houthis, and it's about to get worse. It's been a devastating campaign, whether it's underground facilities, weapons manufacturing, bunkers, troops in the open, air defense assets. We are not going to relent. And it's only to get more unrelenting until the Houthis declare they will stop shooting at our ships. And we've been very clear at the Iranians as well. They should not continue to provide support to the Houthis. And that message has been made very clear. So we have a lot more options and a lot more pressure to apply. And we know, because we see the reports, how devastating this campaign has been in them, and we will not relent.
The thing that's missing here, Emily, is, it's like the anti-Trump media, the liberal media, the mainstream media, they're not acknowledging the fact that the Houthis are saying the only reason they are targeting the shipping is to get Israel to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza, and they're not even targeting American shipping. They are targeting only shipping going into Israel, and they only started targeting American warships when America started bombing them.
Yeah, oh, so, gee, yeah.
So, again, and this is how I lost my Twitter account, by the way, is pointing out that American servicemen and women are being put in harm's way over there right now under fire from the Houthis, not even for the sake of Israel, but for the sake of making sure that kids and old people in Gaza die of starvation and malnutrition and lack of medical care.
Yeah. The layers of like how disgusting and obvious all of this is just insane.
And the other thing that they're trying to do, so when you see what they're doing, cutting like labor standards, cutting all these different things, tightening up the belt. Well, one of the other big things that Trump is doing is his Jew at the EPA is now loosening up rules on coal production and domestic energy production.
Oh, yeah, so the environment's going to go to shit.
And this is why there's a Jew in charge of the EPA. It's because this is all about – this isn't like the old Bush administration, which was Jewed enough.
Yeah.
But the old Bush administration was there was an element of Halliburton – you know, the military-industrial complex, Dick Cheney, there was an element. It was overstated at the time, and the role of Zionism in Israel was seriously downplayed by the anti-war movement. But there was undoubtedly a just old-fashioned, goyish, greed element of these big capitalists, arms producers, the energy industry.
Yeah.
There was an element of that in the rationale behind the Iraq war. In this war, in what we're preparing for, you put a Jew in charge of the EPA because the goal is not to make it easier for big oil or big coal to make a profit by destroying the environment. The goal is simply to radically exploit every last resource that America has to make us more energy dependent so we can go it alone in supporting Israel's expansionist claims in the Middle East.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. Not good. I mean, even the big Trump cheerleaders on Twitter are like, I don't know about this.
So we're going to get a military parade. We're going to get a $1 trillion budget.
We've got Randy Fine in Congress, in the House of Representatives. So genocidal Jew.
So let's talk about this thing with Tim Pool. Tim Pool, for anybody who doesn't know him, is one of the big he's like the other Joe Rogan. You know, he's one of these big like bro podcasters that's less successful than Joe Rogan, but yeah, very much appealing to the
dog like, whistles to the right and
chud,
but then
midwit,
he's like
chud to yes, midwit
sub realm. Like 110 IQ, 115 and under
100, I'd say.
To me, that's so low. 100, like, I can't comprehend people like that are that stupid.
Tim Pool is, you know, definitely appealing to idiots, but certainly has a huge platform and is always very pro, pushes back on the anti-Semitic stuff, even though he's willing to. I've never watched the guy, but
he's one that I never have ever heard a word come out of his mouth.
He's pure scum, like a lot of these people. I remember when the Kanye stuff was going on, how he was pushing back really hard on it. I mean, he's clearly paid by Jews. Well, it's funny because it has never been more clear. Essentially, Netanyahu, so he's here in the United States getting Trump to do his laundry. And it comes out that there was a private meeting between Tim Pool and a number of other podcasters, right-wing influencers and such, who had a private meeting with Netanyahu.
Why?
On the problem of boosting U.S. support for Israel.
Oh,
and
God.
Jewish Insider did a report on this, and I got this from Chris Manahan, Information Liberation. Jewish Insider's reporting Tim Pool held a private meeting with Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu in which he, quote, expressed concerns about increased anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism in the pro-Trump podcasting space.
Oh my God. Well, gee, I wonder why people, why are people anti-Semitic? Like, why could this be? How could this have happened?
And then another podcaster confirmed this, a second influencer, this guy, a black guy, David J. Harris, and there's pictures of him with Netanyahu. Inside my meeting with Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu tonight on my Newsmax show, it was pretty amazing 90-minute meeting. Now, the funny thing is, I don't think that this – so this black guy is bragging about it. Jewish Insider got the info. The funny thing is, Emily, I think it was supposed to be a secret meeting.
Yeah.
Let me play this clip of Tim Pool talking about this Chatham House rules, which means you can't reveal anybody who attended. He's basically acknowledging that it was supposed to be a secret meeting, and they blabbed.
Last night I wasn't here. I got late word that I was invited to a private roundtable meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It was under what's called Chatham House rules, for those that are not familiar. This means that you cannot reveal anybody who attended, nor attribute anything to any one individual, as they can deny it, and they would. However, what I love about what the White House is currently doing, when you bring together a bunch of influencers and podcasters who don't know much about journalism culture, whatever you want to call it, not that we respect it tremendously, most people didn't know what Chatham House meant. So with all due respect, it's funny because they bring us into the Blair House, which is where Netanyahu was staying. And immediately people are walking around with their cameras, their phones up. They actually took our phones from us. And I legit thought they would maintain Chatham House rules, meaning you can't quote the prime minister. You can't quote his officials and the other people who were there.
Yeah, that's his voice. Like, I've never heard his voice. He sounds like they all have these like high pitched, like gay voices.
Yeah, I mean, this is really funny because it's just showing the influence operation.
Yeah.
And, you know, as part of that, Emily, earlier on today, there was an item that appeared in The Hill that was an opinion piece saying how strong U.S. support for Israel is. It said 18 months after Hamas's attack, U.S. support for Israel remains strong. This was by Douglas Schoen and Carly Cooperman, opinion contributors. And this article said how strong Israel's support, to be sure, strong support for Israel's right to self-defense cuts across party lines. More than 9 in 10, 92% of Republicans, 81% of independents, 80% of Democrats supporting the Jewish state. In fact, support for Israel has risen over the last 6 weeks, with 85% of adults supporting Israel's right to defend itself, a 4-point increase. Well, anyway,
where are they getting these numbers? Like, no, I don't think those are real.
Well, the research was conducted by our firm, Schoen Cooperman Research, in collaboration with the Israel on Campus Coalition.
Ah, of course. Totally, totally. You know, they probably were afraid to say they don't support Israel because they're going to get kicked off a campus if they...
Well, just like Trump saying that he's in direct talks with Iran, and then Iran immediately contradicts him and says, no, we're not in direct talks. You just made that up. Right after this article is published, so in research conducted by Schoen Cooperman Research and the Israel Campus guys, support for Israel has never been higher.
Doubt.
Right today, also, Pew Research Center came out, a survey of U.S. adults March 24th to 30th, 2025. This is a real survey, shows that at least 21% of the total U.S. population says they support Hamas over Israel, with a peak support of 32% among Americans aged 25 to 34, a Harvard-Harris poll. And for the first time in history, the majority of Americans view Israel negatively, 53% of U.S. adults expressing that they hold an unfavorable view towards Israel, compared to only 42% in 2022. The massive change includes not only young people, but also boomers, with 66% of 50-plus-year-old Democrat-leaning Americans now expressing a negative view of Israel.
Hey, okay. Good job, boomers.
So them trying to spin it, this Israel, I mean, their influence...
They're just lying.
Their influence campaigns are so pathetic. You know, the woman that came out with the mass rapes thing has now been outed as a serial liar. She's like not just like a regular lying Jew, but like a serial lying
Jew. Well, I mean, Netanyahu keeps repeating these lies over and over. They're always, even though things have been debunked a million times, they keep repeating the lies. But I mean, they're right to do these influence campaigns because they're right that like in 20 years, like these Jews might be kicked out of America. I mean, at the rate things are going, you know, especially with the way Zoomers feel about Jews on the right and the left, they're very anti-Semitic. For a good reason, you know, they're edging themselves closer and closer to being kicked out.
I welcome Randy Fine, his ascension to Congress. I welcome his promotion. And it's funny because you know, when we were first talking about him, people would think, okay, well, this guy is not serious. Why waste time talking about this guy? He is merely a local state rep. He is a minor state rep in hyper-Jewish Florida, and you can find crazy characters all over the country. And so how is it that we anticipated that this is a significant political figure? Well, now he is. He's a member of the House of Representatives. He's a member of the United States Congress, which is the highest lawmaking body of the United States, which is the most powerful country on earth.
Yeah, and you think he's not going to use that new power to pass laws, not just in Florida now. He's going to try and outlaw anti-Semitism. I mean, that's why he's being put there. We know he's going to try and outlaw criticism of Jews, like my AI video. If he could put me in jail for that, he would. You know, he's going to try his best.
He'd drone strike this house right
now. Oh,
yeah,
he would drone strike me.
You know, yeah, and so it's something that this is going to fail. What they're doing right now is going to fail. They are doing too much. At the same time, the world is going to call their bluff. Iran is going to call their bluff. The Yemenis, the Houthis, I mean, they're not making a dent in Yemen, and those people will keep fighting, you know, to the bitter end. I read that in 1 week they spent $1 billion on military hardware against the Houthis.
It's amazing
that they
can't beat that, like these like third world like primitive guerrilla warfare people.
I mean, Yemen has been under constant attack. It's the poorest country in the Middle East. It's the massive humanitarian crisis there for now, like over a decade. They're still taking on the biggest military power in the world.
And they're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. Why can't you Jews just like chill out? I mean, if you want to be like, why don't you just act like any other white ethnic group? Like, why don't you just act like Poles or Czechs and just like, yeah, you guys are just out of control. And like Randy Fine is like the epitome of them just being out of control. He's talking about the Jews getting kicked out of the countries. This is why. OK, maybe do a little reflection here. Maybe do a little self-reflection here, guys.
Well, a guy like that does more to spread anti-Semitism than we ever could.